As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Final 10 seconds ticking down, and Carey Price is going to come up with the shutout. The fourth time he has shut out the Toronto Maple Leafs in his career. And the game is over.
It could be such a fun night for Toronto Maple Leaf fans in Montreal, but that is the night where you just heard the Olé, Olé chant raining down with a number of minutes left in the third period of play. Joe Bowen with the final call. The Montreal Canadiens shut out the Toronto Maple Leafs by a score of 4-0. Welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Kurt Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. We'll talk a lot about the game. We'll head to Montreal. We, of course, open the phone lines and welcome your phone calls at Leafs Nation postgame at 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. But as mentioned in the 2020 Sports Update, Mark Osborne, arguably the biggest, highest profile hired gun out there in Antoine Vermette is changing destinations.
Absolutely, Gord, as reported by Elliot Friedman of Rogers. He gets dealt to the Chicago Blackhawks. A lot of speculation was happening after the Patrick Kane injury that they were hot on the trail of this most prestigious, I guess, a guy that's going to become a UFA at the end of the year. Vermette was second in scoring on the Coyotes with 13 goals, 22 assists, 35 points. Going to Arizona, Don Maloney acquires Chicago's first-round pick this year. And Klaas Dahlbeck, he was a sixth choice in the 2011 draft of the Chicago Blackhawks. 6'2", 200-pound defenseman. He was defenseman of the year for Rockford last year with Glenn Denning, who actually ended up getting traded earlier. So a couple of good young defensive prospects. Glenn Denning went to the Vancouver Canucks, if you remember, when Bieksa went down. And so he had 35 points last year. Obviously, they think highly of him. And again, one of those rental players for the Blackhawks, but yet, for all indications, when we did have Eddie Olczyk on in the pregame show.
That's right, you asked him that question.
I asked him that very question. You know, does Stan Bowman have to do something besides Kimmo Tiiminen to at least make a, or show the players of their effort to say, you know what, in spite of, we can't replace Patrick Kane. But this, I think, is a boost in the arm for the Blackhawks with this recent acquisition.
Well, of course, no shortage of trade talk as well, but we do welcome hockey talk. Of course, the second game without David Clarkson and you can tell us what kind of effort you think it was tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, out shooting the Montreal Canadiens, but getting shut out by Carey Price and company 4-0 again, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. First guy's name, is it A's? What do you have there? Okay, Tyler in Cambridge. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, gentlemen. I hate to see the Leafs lose, but if we're going to take any positives out of this, they slid up one more spot in the old draft rankings. Them and Carolina, I think, are tied in points, and the Leafs have played more games in Carolina, so they're up to fourth now. And I'm just trying to take positives where I can. And I think that even if they don't get McDavid, I think that Mitch Marner and Dylan Strome are outstanding young players, and in any other draft year, they'd probably go first overall easily. So as far as the draft's concerned, I have to be happy with the way they're going. As far as the moves they've made with freeing up cap space with Clarkson and the previous moves, liquefying UFAs for draft picks, I think Dave Notis and Brendan Shanahan have done a great job so far. And I was just curious to see if any you guys think that the UFAs they have remaining, I think maybe the scary thing is Holzer might be their best UFA remaining. And I was just curious whether or not you guys think they get something maybe even as high as a second-round draft pick for him. I know they've been stockpiling draft picks. And, as a Leaf fan, you just got to kind of take your positives wherever you can find them these days. And I'm happy to see that at least they've fully embraced this rebuild. And go Leafs go forever, no matter what. Back to you guys.
Yeah, it's a tough city to play in. Dave Nonis, Brendan Shanahan being commended after a 4-0 shutout loss to the Montreal Canadiens for falling to 27th now overall. It's unbelievable. I do understand why, and I appreciate Tyler's call in that regard. But I lived it when you're in the 1980s or other years, when you're talking about the future as the guy you draft, like Luke Shen was a few years ago, being a reason that you're going to turn things around. It's going to take way more than that. Obviously, Ozzie, they got to get a great pick. That way, if they're picking in the top four, or top five, or top three, you would hope that they cash in on somebody really good. Corbinian Holzer, we thought he was one of the better players tonight. That's an interesting thought Tyler mentions when you think of UFAs being available. We don't think of Corbinian Holzer that often.
Well, you know what, Gord? I got to tip the hat off to Corbinian Holzer for the way that he actually has played. And even since Dion Phaneuf has come back from injury, these two games, Holzer has been paired with Dion Phaneuf. So I don't know if they're, in fact, showcasing Holzer as far as what he can do with, obviously, the recent trade with Cody Franson. And so Corbinian Holzer, he's looked very good.
Yeah.
He made a great job breaking up a two-on-one. This evening's playing with a bit of jam, a lot more confidence. Remains to be seen exactly what a guy like Corbinian Holzer could actually fetch on the free agent market, per se. And yet, be an interesting guy for the Leafs, certainly, to look forward to. Perhaps keeping him in the fold, re-signing him. I think there's been a lot of positives to his development. In some ways, not predicted this year.
Yeah.
And yet, I give him a lot of credit. I thought his days were past in this particular organization, having failed maybe to take advantage of it a few years ago. But this season, he's done everything that he should and could do to at least provide a bit of insurance for the Maple Leafs on the back end.
Yeah. Anyway, it's an interesting premise that way. And again, with Antoine Vermette being traded, and you see no defensemen go to free agency this summer. I don't mean no, but very few, because they're that valued commodity. So that is an interesting premise.
But you know what? Interesting enough, we're applauding now. We dropped down to 27th overall.
I'm not.
1%. We're 1%. We're at 9.5%.
So they improve chances to get Connor McDavid.
But anyways,
1%.
But case in point. To Tyler, the caller, and duly noted, talking about some of those guys that are going to be your top five picks. And, you know, by the way, Mitch Marner of the London Knights sits atop of the OHL in scoring. In 55 games, he's got 118 points. 118 points. I mean, this guy has got a huge amount of upside when it comes down to just his ability to create offense in the offensive zone, plays with some jam. Dylan Strome, another kid who's, you know, Tom Ferguson's son, plays for the Erie Otters with Connor McDavid. And Dylan Strome, interesting, Tom Ferguson was saying, this kid wants to be a player. So when you hear that, it's like, that's what you want. His skating's not that good, but yet in the offensive zone, he certainly is really good below the hash marks.
And don't get me wrong, I will share everybody's excitement around draft time about who the Leafs get to draft in whatever high slot it is. I mean,
well, sure you are. You're sharing it right now. You're excited.
I am excited. I just Paul in Newmarket. Hey, Paul.
Hey, gentlemen.
What's on your...
Another disgraceful season for the Leafs. I keep on wondering if this thing can go any lower. You know, they bring in Shanahan, they fire Carlisle. Shanahan, what's he going to do? He's just a figurehead. You know, he's there to collect the paycheck. The Leafs, everybody's talking about all this optimism about drafting and all this. Leafs have never really drafted anybody of note. The last good draft pick they had was Wendell Clark, and since then it's been all downhill. The organization is dysfunctional. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's what needs to be said. They keep on bringing in these retread general managers and coaches. They need to start bringing in people with pedigree, and until they do that, they're going nowhere.
Okay, thanks very much for the call, frustrated Leaf fan.
Well, you know what? I would beg to differ. I thought the Leafs had a couple of real good first-round picks since Wendell Clark. Alexander Steen.
Tuukka Rask.
They named a Wasp after him.
Yeah, Vinny Domfus. I mean, there have been. Now, Cliff Fletcher was, it kind of got kidded that when he echoed draft schmaft is what he said back in the 90s, but he also made a lot of trades bringing guys in. And wasn't afraid to give up first round picks, but then in the God, in the John Ferguson era, or the latter part of the Pat Quinn era, just a lot of first round picks given up that have gone on to really shine and thrive. And you, as a scout, you got to be like lying in the fetal position, crying it to sleep at nights, because that's what your bread and butter is. That's what you that's what you do. And you got to feel so good when you land a guy like Tuukka Rask, 21st, Thomas Alexander Steen, again, later
24th.
Yeah. You know, just that kind of thing. Like these were guys you always talk about, not top five or six picks, and they go somewhere else.
Well, and that is the huge disappointment. And there's no reason the caller, you know, just describing, I guess, expressing how he feels, the dysfunction, whatever. Let's face it, the last 10 years, the game has changed. It's been a focal point on the draft right out of the gate. John Ferguson Jr. Got it incorrect. Let's just call a spade a spade. I mean, his decisions were certainly not the best for the organization. Then Brian Burke took some risks, took some chances. You got Phil Kessel out of the deal, but, you know, we're sitting here in hindsight. And now all of a sudden, man, we're behind the eight ball, even worse than ever. I would agree with the caller. It's rebuild time, and now we're applauding. The fact is that we've made some mistakes, but now we're trying to recollect some acquisitions to move forward. At least that's some of the optimism.
Steve's in Nashville. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. One of the things that has bothered me tremendously the last 3 days is this theory that players, when they come to Toronto, suddenly can't perform. That a great player suddenly, shrivels under the pressure. And using Clarkson as that example. And, you know, I'm not there every day like you guys are, but I'm so sick and tired of this fallacy that somehow Toronto is so difficult to play under. You know, when Dave Andrichuk came from the metropolitan huge city of Buffalo, he suddenly got better. Doug Gilmore was good in Calgary and St. Louis. He became great in Toronto. You know, I think this group that we've seen for the last 10 or 15 years is just a bad mix. It's just a management issue, period. That's been it. Just bad decisions, bad John Ferguson Jr., like you guys were talking about. But where does this – who keeps fueling this fire, guys? That this Toronto thing is like, oh, man, David Clarkson, who was very fortunate to have Zach Parise for quite a while in New Jersey, wasn't – Dave Nonis, I think, said in this press conference, he didn't expect him to be a 30-goal scorer. I don't know if he expected him to be like a 5-goal scorer, but where is it coming from?
Well, you know,
so difficult to play there.
Well, and it's like Derek Jeter playing in New York all those years. I mean, I think it's a crock like you do.
Crock.
I was a member, as you were, Ozzie, back in the 80s. And it was a number of years, it was a losing organization, and cop-outs blame the media, blame the agents, blame a lot of things. And that's what losers do. And I'm not saying, I don't know if Brendan Shanahan, Dave Nonis, Peter Horchuk, I mean, I can't speak for the organization that way that they actually do that. But when fans mention it and say, I heard that tonight, a media outlet just saying, oh boy, the eyes of everybody on Toronto, look at David Clarkson, he got chewed up here and attacked personally. I don't remember him getting attacked. It baffles me beyond belief that this is the best place to play, I think, period. And other play, if you want to find another place, that's fine. But when you get winning a little bit, your butt gets kissed beyond belief. And all I can say is, as part of the media now, Ozzy, if I am part of the problem, then when they do win a Stanley Cup, I will realize my dream and get my name on the Stanley Cup.
You know what?
Because if we influence it that much, then we have to be included on the positives as well as the negatives.
But you know what? Even if the poll was given a couple of weeks ago about players or agents, they don't want to come, they're naming the top four or five Canadian cities where players do not want to come. If this was a winning organization, you can be sure that they want to come. There's no question about that. And further to, you know, Steve's comments, what about these guys in the Pat Quinn era? You go from Matt Sundin to Gary Roberts to Darcy Tucker to Curtis Joseph. The list goes on and
Joe
on.
Joe Newendike.
Those guys all thrived as Toronto Maple Leafs, and then things started to go south when, by the way, you took Pat Quinn's power away and you handed it to John Ferguson Jr. That's when things started to change for this organization.
Well, we'll take a break, come back as we look back at the last number of years. We also look at tonight's game, a 4-0 loss to the Montreal Canadiens. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Kurt Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs radio network. 4-0 shutout victory by the Montreal Canadiens over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Antoine Vermette traded to the Chicago Blackhawks as well. So welcome callers at 870-590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. But, of course, Ozzy, you know what time it is now. You know what time it is?
I'm not sure, Gord. It's just a little bit after 10 o'clock Eastern.
Well, that's correct, and that means it's time for the Player of the Game.
Oh,
Player of the Game brought to you by...
You're just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I did. The Player of the Game is brought to you by Tip Top Tailors. It's all about style. Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop.
Well, you know what? I think that's a little bit unfair of you to put me in that position right now when we were just handling callers and I'm doing my best to anyways.
Yeah, you're doing a very good job. Okay. Yeah,
okay,
that's
us Carey Price.
That's, oh,
we're
gonna say in the 4-0 shutout win for the
Carey Price
for the Montreal Canadiens, the Leafs outshot the Canadiens. Who are you gonna pick as your tip top player of the game?
Well, Carey Price, how about that? 30 saves, his 6th shutout of the season. 36th win of the season, goals against average under 2, save percentage, what, 937 by now? What more do you want?
Did you figure that out? Is it really 937?
14-1-1 since early part of January. This is all at the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Leads the NHL in goals against, leads in save percentage, number one in wins. What more do you want? Anything else?
Just keep it going. Keep it going. I want to hear.
That's enough right there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the stats tonight. And again, I don't know what does Peter Horacek and the coaches do when they look? I don't know. Do you even look at the stats anymore? I don't know what, but.
I don't remember John Brophy's famous line when he came down when the stats were handed from the press box. He started reading the stats. He goes, but who believes in stats? DeGray, no hits. Iafredi, no hits.
Well. It's a little bit more entertaining and colorful that way. Richard Ponick, -3. Joffrey Lupo, -3. Tyler Bozak, -3. Roman Polak, -3.
Oh, you don't put a lot of value in plus minus, do you, Gordon?
You got to qualify it. As a standalone stat, it needs qualification.
But here's the point. What you really do need to say is if you're going to point out Joffrey Lupo being -3, you need to say what a dumb play through the neutral zone on the first goal. What a dumb play on the third goal going back to Ponick, and then Ponick gives it away. There's 3 giveaways on that third goal that basically iced the cake as far as the Maple Leafs were concerned. I mean, they weren't going to win the game after they were down 2-0, but I thought for the better part of the game, they actually competed until that third goal early in the third period. So
yeah, and you're right. Everybody that was on with Joffrey Lupo's giveaway in the first goal should be ticked that they got a minus in that regard. And let's get Kyle from Wallaceburg on. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
I just wanted to ask
about Kessel and Finesse trade value. Like, people act like they're overpaid. Finesse, I think, a top 2 defenseman, and Kessel, I'd put him in the top 10 in the league. Like, he's top 10 scoring every year. People act like we're going to dump him for a salary dump, but, like, can't we get serious value for these guys or what?
Well, it's refreshing your perspective in the sense that perspective is something that you have to maintain. When you're winning a ton, you start to lose perspective about how great the team is. And when you're losing a ton, you've got to try to keep perspective to talk about what Kyle's chatting there. And Phil Kessel, year in, year out, has been a top 10 scorer. Dion Phaneuf, at best, is a second defenseman on teams. It's, debatable. I don't know, Ozzy, where you put him, but we talked about if he went to Los Angeles, for example, he would fit well in their top 4. I think most teams fit well in their top four.
On real good teams, Dion Phaneuf is not in your top 2.
Correct.
That's according to me. You know what?
Is he in your top 4 on really good teams?
He is.
Yeah.
He's in your top 4. There's no question he can make your top 4. Top 2, no, not in my opinion.
So the point being, I
guess, anyways, no, but he was saying, you know, could we not get good value for players like that?
I don't think by Monday.
No, not
I don't
by
think
Monday.
By Monday. That's why
Phil Kessel, you can get a lot of stuff for. Okay, no
in the offseason,
more than Deion.
Oh, I think absolutely. And in the offseason, when you take a breath, just like Bobby Ryan trade a couple of years ago, Tyler Seguin is that. There'll be those kind of moves because teams will have cap issues, and that's something the Leafs have to figure out. And I tend to think that both of them will be back next year. I really do. I think they'll both be back next year, and I think they bring a lot of value to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But they have to figure out the other pieces, what they can move, and quite often it doesn't take a ton of them, just more right moves than wrong moves.
And you know what? You brought up something that just really is intriguing for me because I'm trying to remember with the Bobby Ryan deal. You know,
Jakob Silverberg.
Who was involved in that? Traded Ottawa by Anaheim for Jakob Silverberg, Stefan Neuson, and Ottawa's first-round choice, which was Nicholas Ritchie in 2014. So, I don't know. Is that good value? Do you think Anaheim got back good value for
a
three- or four-time 30-goal scorer in Bobby Ryan?
There's always the argument that the team that wins the trade is the team that got the best player. So that means Ottawa won the trade if you go by that. The one wild card there is Anaheim got a break that Ottawa, they got the first round pick when Ottawa went down a bit.
Okay.
Richie's a guy that a lot of people are big on. A lot of people thought the Leafs should have taken him instead of Nylander. You know, that was a debate there. So that was probably, much like the Bruins couldn't believe their good fortune in picking second overall when they took Seguin. I know Anaheim thought that pick would be five or six more down.
Well, anyways, we're making the point. The point was for a guy like Bobby Ryan, making the Phil Kessel comparison.
It's fair return. Who won the trade? I don't know. Is it fair return? I rate it as fair return.
And then you think about the money that's being saved, because mm-hmm. that's part of the equation as well. If you're going to rebuild, retool, whatever it is that you want to call it, money is always part of the equation. The Deion Phaneuf thing, which is, again, an interesting part of trying to deal a guy like that, who you take back on, you get rid of, you're going to have six more years at, you know, $42 million you're going to save in trading Deion Phaneuf, but then, you know, who do you replace him
with?
Well,
the other difference was the Bobby Ryan trade, he was a year away from becoming a free agent, and you had to gauge that. So Anaheim, after signing Getzlaff and Perry, you weren't sure what he was going to get. What I believe helps in the Kessel and Phaneuf trade, even though it's a lot of money, is that their contracts are firm. So people know exactly what they're getting. They're long contracts. They're rather lucrative contracts, but it's not like after 1 year they can become a UFA and go somewhere else. And that could add value in some situations. It could be a deterrent in others.
You know, the only other two guys that come to that kind of a comparable would be Carter and Richards, right? Signed long-term deals. Look what Philadelphia was able to get for Jeff Carter out of Columbus. You
right.
got Voracek, right?
And a first-round pick in Couturier.
There you go. You turn around. Same
Simmons
thing
and Shen.
Yeah,
the killer there is Braden Shen really hasn't. You know, it's funny. Both the Shen brothers, you know.
Give me Shen over Kadri. I'll say that right now. Give me Shen over Kadri.
Okay.
Give me Shen over Kadri.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't care. I don't care if Kadri's got a few more points. I don't give a rip.
Yeah.
Give me Shen over Kadri.
Talk about Braden.
Okay?
Braden or Luke or both.
No.
Either.
Braden. Hands down.
Okay,
so we're making all this deal about, and somebody suggested Nazem Kadri is going to be potential captain one day. What, are you kidding me? Seriously. Anyways, okay. How do I feel about Nazem Kadri?
How do you feel about him?
Yeah. I feel he's done okay.
Yep.
Nothing to write home to my mom about.
Well,
that's for sure, in building a team.
Well, the other part that's complicated, and this is exactly it, and this is where Nonis and Shanahan and whoever else they're bringing in the evaluation process. Jonathan Bernier and Nazem Kadri, their contracts are up. And if you don't think they're worth what you're going to get them, I agree with what you're saying. Trade them. Absolutely. In both cases.
Well, you know what, Nazem Kadri, when you do all the comparables, I mean, he's already counting the dollars already as so far what he's going to get. You know, $4.5 million, $5 million, whatever it is you think he's going to get. He's going to get it, right? All the other players that are his comparables in the game are making that kind of money.
That's why you got to be unafraid to trade him if that's what you want to do.
Great training habits in the offseason. You know, a lot of things to like about Naz, right? Sorry, you got me going. I'm a little bit upset right now.
Well, it's
some of the things.
It's interesting because there's a void in leadership that he decides he's going to be the guy.
It's the void of leadership. So now we're going to defer to him as being the guy up front that we're going to build this team around.
Where he should really have a mentor. He should really have.
Who's been his mentor?
I have no idea. Who is it?
There hasn't been one. How about that?
Well, we will. Are we going to get our guest on now or take a break? We got him now? Okay, perfect, perfect. We're going to get Rene Lavoie in a second and chat about. Okay, we got him. Okay, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Leafs Radio Network. Rene Lavoie joining us from TVA Sports. And boy, oh boy, I was saying it's, I've been in Montreal many, many times. And if you're a Leaf fan and you win the game or it's tight, it's funny, but it's fun. But that ole, ole, ole chant, that is the cherry on the sundae.
Yeah, it's always the cherry on the sundae. And you know, strangely, even if Montreal is winning, seems to me night after night right now, it's been a long time since I didn't hear it. Like, it feels strange because everybody around the league knows that the Canes are for real. But for any reason in Montreal, the fans are like, yeah, but is it enough? And it's always about, it seems like, about Carey Price. And again, tonight he was just unbelievable in that game, make those key saves. And this was the difference in a game that, honestly, I thought the Leafs played really, really well, deserved better. And that third goal almost killed them because, first of all, it wasn't supposed to be a goal when a player like Gallagher is pushing the goaltender like that. Normally, you disallow the goal. You don't have to give a penalty, but you have to disallow the goal. And they didn't do that on the ice. It was quite strange, and I was surprised by that. But at the end of the day, the Canes won that game.
Rene, much of what you said tonight, I think, has been part of the Habs season in general. I know if you look at the St. Louis game, the most recent Columbus game, both 5-2 victories on the road. And yet, you know, there's the argument that the Canadians simply rely too much on Carey Price, that they're not good enough. Again, is it because of their opponent in which they play? PK Subban, prime example, didn't really seem to be that interested in playing the game again. Yet the Canadians come away with a victory, find a way to win.
You know what? It's all about a team that is always able to score on their biggest chances, night after night. It's tough for the Canadians to score goals. And Michel Therrien, before the game, told us, we were alone with him, and he said, you know what? For me, it's not about the goals. It's about the goals that you're costing us. So he doesn't mind that a Lars Seller is not, maybe he's got one goal last 20 games. But what he doesn't want to see is Lars Seller making a mistake on the ice that's going to cost a goal. And so it's a defensive team. It's not an offensive team. They don't have the power that maybe the Blackhawks had before Kane was injured, or maybe even like a team like the Capitals in the East. Or you can go and look at what the Rangers are doing. It's really strange because you look at Montreal. Yes, they're playing well defensively, but they still allow 30 shots per game. And Carey Price it's too easy for him right now. The only thing that I hope for the Canes is that Carey Price is going to stay healthy. And I am convinced that when the playoffs will start, you'll see another Kreider type of play where a player is going on him and trying to get him out of the game. It's the only way, honestly, that you can beat that guy right now.
I want to ask you a bit of a different question because you're well plugged in around the league. And, of course, here, people talking about the game, but everyone excited about NHL trade deadline, although I don't know what's going to be left on Monday. Antoine Vermette and the player the Chicago Blackhawks are getting and the kind of fit he has going to a team like Chicago.
Well, you know what? It's the only trade that maybe the Blackhawks had to do, because when you have a guy like Patrick Kane going down, you don't have many choices. And honestly, Antoine Vermette was their only option out there. It was impossible for the Blackhawks to take a player that player is having, like, let's say 2 or 3 years left in his contract, even 1 year. So they had to go pick a rental. That's what they did. He was the best player available. And if they didn't make that move, I don't know what would happen to that team. And it's good for Antoine Vermette. He's not going to replace Patrick Kane, because this is just impossible to do. What you only hope as a team is it's not going to be 12 weeks out for a guy like Kane that maybe
you're going to go and be able to have a 10 weeks absence, but we'll see how it's going to turn out. I'm convinced that the Blackhawks are for real again this year. So you never know. Patrick Kane can come back in the third round, and that will boost that team for a push for the Stanley Cup. So it's amazing how that trade happened. I was between the bench tonight in that game, received a text message that Antoine Vermette was traded to Chicago. But I knew at that time, because the Twitter feed was saying that Vermette was flying with the team, with the Coyotes to Phoenix. So if he's in the plane, how is it possible that who's going to tell him that he's traded? And my understanding of the situation is he was on the plane and he received the message that he was traded to Chicago. He asked to get out of the plane, but because the plane was already on the tarmac, he had to stay. So it's really weird that a player who's traded is staying with his team. I never seen that before. And I remember some players being like kicked out of the plane, and the day you're out. Seems like Vermette is still in right now as we speak.
So he's being held captive on the plane by the Arizona Coyotes.
No, Don's going to make the plane go to Chicago. They're going to drop him off. They're going to do him a favor, Gord.
No, I don't think so. He's going to stay.
Yeah. Hey, Renee, I wanted to get back and ask you just a little bit of a question, and maybe you can educate Gord on this one, where, you know, we're talking about teams acquiring players at the deadline. I almost look at this particular player as a bonus for the Montreal Canadiens, the way that he's been able to play. And I'm talking about Jacob De La Rose, who we saw at the World Juniors, is now had over 15 minutes of ice tonight, gaining some confidence. Looks like a player that's very capable without the puck. He's smart. Talk to us a little bit about Jacob De La Rose, and certainly educate Gord about his contributions.
Listen, this is a second-round pick, okay? He's 19-year-old. That's why this market is totally nuts. You don't give a second-round pick for a 43-year-old guy who's not going to help your team win. It's impossible. It's criminal to do that. And it's criminal to get Daniel Winnick and give a second pick, a fourth pick, and a player. That guy was signed on July 28th. And now, for picks that are so important on teams that are rebuilding, like, for me, the Maple Leafs, those guys are genius. What they did this week is amazing. But now you have a guy like De La Rose, who's a second rounder, who started the season in the American League, who played at the World Juniors, was the captain on his team, and his coach told him, now you're going to go back in Hamilton, and you're going to work hard, and you're going to get in the NHL soon. It's exactly what happened. And this is a kid among men, but he's not afraid of anything. He's tall, he's big, and the guy who's putting so much pressure on himself to be always at his best. You're gonna be amazed with that guy. He's gonna make sure the Montreal Canadiens are gonna be a good team for many, many years. So I'm telling you guys, good thing for the Maple Leafs to get all those draft picks. Obviously, I hope for the Leafs and that they're going to get more. And if it happens and they draft pretty well, it's not going to take 5 years. It's going to be quicker than that because they still have a good group right now. And who's going to stay there is going to help this team to be in the playoffs. I'm not going to say maybe next year, but in a few years. So for me, it's just amazing what this market is. It's totally nuts. I'm not saying giving a first rounder for Antoine Vermette is a mistake. That's not a mistake. But come on, you don't give a second rounder and a third rounder for Jaromir Jagr. It's impossible to do something like that. And good for the Devils.
Well, want to talk about things that are going on around the National Hockey League, and certainly that's optimistic. That's good optimism for Maple Leaf fans because Montreal did it in 3 years. Come back that way. I'm wondering, do you think last year the Montreal Canadiens added Vanek? Do you think there's anything on the burner there for the Montreal Canadiens come trade deadline?
Well, you know what? Because the market is so expensive, I think the Canadians, in their mind, a week ago, they had a chance to take a player or two in this, you know, in the market. But the market changed so much in the last week that right now it's possible there'll be no trades for Montreal. And it's totally logic, because who's left, really? Come on, who's left? There's not much left out there. And obviously you want to go and pick another defenseman to bring that in your system for the end of the season. Maybe if there's injuries, it's going to be exactly the same thing for maybe a third, I'll say more a fourth liner type of player. But if I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan, I can't expect much. Nothing major is going to happen, but there's still that chance that Mark is going to be able to get a hockey trade, which is a player under contract for maybe another year or two versus one of his player who's under contract for a year or two. But who's that player is going to be? I don't know. I don't know. It's not going to be Emelin. It's going to be, if something happened, it's going to be something big, or something really, really small, a fourth liner being picked up from, Carolina or wherever. But nothing major is going to happen with Montreal.
Okay, appreciate it very much. I sound in transit. Thanks very much for joining us.
No problem, my friend. Have a nice evening.
You too. Rene Lavoie from TVA Sports, covering the Montreal Canadiens and the National Hockey League.
Well, you know what, Gord? Interesting, though, as you look at a guy like Jacob de la Rose, okay? And here's a case in point when you talk about a scouting staff led by Marc Bergevin, where you have Rick Dudley. And these guys they understand what they're looking for or who they're looking for in particular. And I talk about this kid, and I asked Renee that in particular because I was impressed. Again, this is his 13th or 14th National Hockey League game. He's 19 years of age. He's smart out there, positionally sound. And by the way, he was drafted in the second round of the 2013 draft, where we had Frédéric Gauthier, okay, who's playing
who was taken in the first round.
Who was taken in the first round. So case in point, where a guy gets drafted, who he gets drafted by, what you're looking for, and some of those intangibles of which I'm very impressed about this young guy. So there's how important drafting is and knowing and trusting your scouting staff.
Absolutely, and it's also important our sponsors and get our breaks in. Mm-hmm. So we will do that. We'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame, a 4-0 win for the Montreal Canadiens over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. 4-0 win for the Montreal Canadiens over the Toronto Maple Leafs. All the action was right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Want to remind you?
No. Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay, remind us. What are you going to remind us of?
I was going to remind you of a different spin on sports. Every morning, coming Monday morning to Sportsnet 590, The Fan, sitting right in your very chair. It's the debut of Dean Blundell and Company, weekday morning starting this Monday, 5:30 to 9 on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Well, may I remind you of the guy that was talking about, Mitch Marner, the London Knights, who's leading the OHL in scoring. By the way, they won in Saginaw tonight, 12-3. How many points do you think Marner got?
One.
He just had a six-point night.
I missed, okay, I missed my five. I was close. That was my second guess.
He's not going to be very good. Not a very good player.
Well, it's all McDavid carrying the team anyway.
It's all hype, right?
No. You know, it's interesting. Actually, there's a great stat along the way about – I know. I'm giving them a stat along the way about guys that are underrated as far as a big name. And then I'll give you an example. Back in – it's a long time ago, but Pat LaFontaine, third overall, Steve Yzerman, fourth overall. Do you remember who went first and second that year?
Would that have been Gordy Kluzak?
No, Brian Lawton.
Brian Lawton.
And,
well, thank you.
And Turgeon. And Sylvain Turgeon.
Okay.
As far as that goes.
What about the year that Jonathan Toews was picked? Who went first overall? Okay, Eric Johnson, St. Louis.
Guys, I get my
You know, Taze went third overall. Figure it out.
You know, it's funny. That was really the only bust of number one overalls. I mean, you've had Joe Murphy in that throughout the years. No, but it's since
Oh, you're calling him a bust?
Joe Murphy?
No.
For his first
Eric
overall?
Johnson.
As a first overall, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Not a bust as a player. Not a bust as a player, but as a first overall pick.
What about Doug Wickenheiser?
What would you rather have, Jonathan Taves or Eric Johnson?
Absolutely, I would have.
Okay, let's have our out-of-town scoreboard. Brought to you by Bergmanis Prera, Ontario's most referred personal injury law firm. Visit us at bplawyers.ca.
Let's go to Philadelphia, shall we, Gord?
Big game tonight.
11 minutes left in the third period. This is a big game in Philadelphia. 3-2, the Flyers are leading right now. Michael Delzato, shorthanded his eighth, puts the Flyers up in the third period. Other Flyers scorers, Matt Reed is sixth, and Michael Raffel, his 14th for the Rangers. JT Miller is sixth. John Moore, his first. Steve Mason is in net. So, again, a big game for Philly after the sub-performance or bad game the other night here in Toronto. They're leading the Rangers.
Well, the Devan Dubnyk-led Minnesota Wild, 1-0 lead over the Colorado Avalanche. Eric Halla, his seventh. That's in the first period of play.
Do you have any interesting points about that game, the fourth time these two teams are meeting?
It's the fourth time these two teams are meeting. What's interesting about that?
Well, Minnesota's shut out Colorado three times this season in the
previous three games. Three?
Yeah, that's right. That's what's interesting
about that. Plus a period.
I don't know. That might not be interesting to you, but it certainly is noteworthy for me. Anyways, Tommy Wingles has a goal for San Jose midway through the first period against Ottawa at home. Wingles, his 13th.
You know what's interesting about that? Wingles had 12 goals heading into this game. There we go. How about that?
Okay.
St. Louis, Edmonton.
What do you got for us there?
No score. Elliott and Scrivens in goal. That's in the first period. The interesting one is Jeff Petrie not dressed as the Oilers keep him out of the lineup. So there's the next guy to be traded maybe later on tonight. Who knows?
Okay. So some finals that have been reported already as far as final scores. Do you want me to give you the goal scores again? I think you have done this 8 times tonight already. Would you like them again?
So wait, we've got this break and then one at the 40. You know what? Let's take a break
and
come back. And by the way,
the
point I was going to talk about earlier was about Ryan Strome. I'm just talking about two great players playing on the same team and quite often about a second player playing behind the first player.
Mm. It's not very good, right?
No. I'm just saying, like, Ian Turnbull, for example, was Denny Potvin's defense partner in Ottawa. So Potvin was, you know, far away.
We got to go all the way back to the 70s for
that? Starting from there. We move up, okay? I'm going to get started.
I mean, a lot of people listening have no idea who those two people
are. Well, Ian Turnbull was a Leaf. I know. Okay. I know we're going back a bit. We'll come back, and we'll give you the out-of-town scores at some point, but we've got to, it's been great chatting with many fans out there, many different things going on, but it was a 4-0 loss to the Montreal Canadiens tonight. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Welcome back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Reminder, in about 6 minutes' time, our network hour will end, but we'll have more Leafs Nation postgame. We'll be on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and many other stations. If your station breaks away and you want to listen to us still, online, sportsnet590.ca.
Or at least half of us, if you want to listen to maybe one of us. Anyways. No, what were you saying?
Well, you think you're having a big night here? Let's hear it. Go ahead, Hotshot. Let's hear it. Let's hear some more simulating analysis. Like, you came in, you're medicated. You're over-medicated with cold medicine.
I think so.
And I'm sure, you know, and you're doing really well, but I'm trying to carry you, but you're flailing away at me now.
Anyways, we're going back to the final scores. Boston defeats Arizona, and Antoine Vermette is on the plane. Recently traded. Anyway, he's got to go all the way back. He's had a few cocktails on that plane, don't you think?
So as we said, the deal was, and that's what many people were talking about, including our own Elliott Friedman, was he's on the plane. So he was on the flight back. He found out either just as they were taking off or mid-air, but must have been on the runway, and he wanted them to turn back. But nowadays, they just don't do stuff like that anymore. So it was, the song says, too late to turn back now. So he's on the flight as a member of the Chicago Blackhawks, heading from Boston to Phoenix, which isn't like exactly around the corner. And tomorrow he'll probably have to go back from Phoenix to Chicago.
Okay.
Just give me a little geography there.
I think he will. I think he will.
Yeah.
It's not that long of a flight to Chicago from Phoenix. He needs a few extra clothes. It's cold in Chicago. Anyways, the final score in Boston, 4-1. The Bruins defeat the Coyotes. A lone score for the Coyotes in the third period breaks Tuukka Rask's shutout. Martin Erat, his 9th of the season. Here are the Bruins scores. Lucic's 13th. Marchand his 18th. By the way, top glove, top shelf. Beautiful shot, by the way. You probably missed it. Patrice Bergeron, 18th. And Sedeno Chara, his 5th.
I'm back because I was checking the, I saw a thing saying Antoine Vermette trade analysis, and it's from my colleague and your good friend, Neil Smith, who just said that because of this trade, Monday's going to be a long day of covering no trades of any significance. Just, you wonder who's left, right? I mean, Jeff Petrie could go in the next 24 hours. We found this the last couple of days, or last couple of years. But, you know, last year there were still things like Vanek and that went on the trade deadline day, so I'm sure things will still happen. Of course, we'll have it here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and on Rogers Sportsnet. How about that?
Okay.
Carry on with more scores.
Anyways.
Please.
Anyone in particular of interest? Let's go to Florida, where the Panthers, with Jaromir Jagr's debut, defeat the Sabres 5-3. Buffalo jumped out to a 2-0 lead. Cody Hodgson, his 4th. Mazeros, his 3rd. And then 3 goals in the second period by the Panthers. Brandon Peary had 2, both of them on the power play, just a minute and 23 apart, his 10th and 11th, and Bukestad with his 22nd. Buffalo tied it early in the third, Torrey Mitchell his 6th, and then Scotty Upshaw his 7th with the game winner, Derek McKenzie into an empty net his 4th. Big win for Florida to keep pace with the Boston Bruins, who, as mentioned already, were winners at home against Arizona.
Okay, bring it on. I'll give you one here. Marlies beat Adirondack Flames. Did you know that? 5-2? Matt Fratton, Victor Love, Brandon Mickelson, Andrew McMillan, and Brandon Lipsick all scoring for the Toronto Marlies in a 5-2 win over Adirondack, giving you a bit of a break.
Wow, thank you.
Bebo in goal, by the way.
Bebo in goal. Detroit goes into Nashville, beats the number one National Hockey League team 4-3. 2 big goals in the third period for Detroit after being down 3-2. They opened the scoring, however. Brendan Smith is 4th. Drew Miller then early in the second period made it 2-0 Red Wings. Matt Cullen pulled them within 1, his 6th of the season for the Preds. Mike Fisher, goal number 15. Then Shea Weber on the power play with Howitzer, his 15th of the season. So the Preds had a 3-2 lead heading into that third period. And as mentioned, Alexei Marchenko, his 1st National Hockey League goal, ties it up, and then Thomas Tatar with his team-leading 25th on the power play midway through the third period gives the Red Wings a huge win.
And Marchenko, a third-round pick of the Detroit Red Wings in 2011. This was his second year playing in the American Hockey League, and another great call-up that way. Carolina now has moved ahead of the Toronto Maple Leafs very incrementally, but they win tonight 5-3 over the New York Islanders, so they're ahead of the Leafs in the overall standings by virtue of playing one fewer games. Jay McClement, his 5th and 6th. Justin Falk, his 12th. Brad Malone, his 6th. Michael Jordan, his 2nd for the Islanders. John Tavares, his 30th. Nikolai Kuhlman, his 12th. And Michael Grabner, his 7th.
You know what? You pronounce that guy Jordan.
Jordan.
Not Jordan. Jordan. Not Michael Jordan.
So Mikhail Jordan. Jordan.
Okay?
Okay.
So remember that for next time,
Mikhail
please.
Jordan.
Anyways, in Columbus with David Clarkson's debut, didn't seem to provide any kind of spark for the Blue Jackets. They lose 2-0 to the Devils. Andy Green is 2nd, Travis Zajac his 10th. It was a great fight to start the game. Bowl was fighting Mark Fraser. As mentioned earlier, David Clarkson had, I believe, 2 shots, 4 hits, and he fell down 8 times.
And played on the big line.
Yeah,
so that was pretty good for him. Okay, Boston 4-1 winners over the
Arizona
Coyotes.
I already did that already.
Did you?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we got it all done. Montreal, of course, 4-0 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Manny Malhotra, his first goal of the season. He became the 500th individual to score a goal for the Montreal Canadiens. So kind of like, you know, walking into a store and being the 10,000th customer or something like that. One of those things he can tell his kids and grandkids about. And that ended up being the game winner. in the 4-0 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Do you think he's going to tell anybody about that? Do you think anybody cares?
Yeah, I do. I think people do care.
Wow, you're the 500th player to score a goal in a uniform.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wow.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about the other 499 players and much more when we come back. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne. A 4-0 win for the Montreal Canadiens, including Manny Malhotra being the 500th scorer ever in Montreal history. You heard it here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
I feel like we're doing a telethon tonight. It just carries on. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Of course, tell like Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We're going to be doing 20 more telethons. Just thought you better get ready.
What happens when we don't have trade talk anymore? We'll find stuff.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We do it well. We try.
All the Marley call-ups. And wow. Look at that. Matt Fratton. He's coming back to life again.
I like, so.
That's not very nice of me, is it?
Well, and he came back to life, got a goal there. Also, I'm reading here. Yeah. So I like you got to read things. Like, so, you know, with trade rumors, there's been one or two things. We had a scratch at one game that someone wasn't scratched, that someone had tweeted out. And I just see someone here that the Coyotes acquired Klaus Dahlbeck and a first-round pick from Chicago. And there we go. It's exactly that. It's, I think, probably Vermette's the important one, but I guess that's the Phoenix, it's the Arizona release they're showing. That was the trade that went on today. We just talked about it before the break. And you had a little bit of information about Klaus Dahlbeck, who was the prospect, the young player playing for Rockford, and also a 2015 first-round pick that goes to Arizona from the Chicago Blackhawks for arguably the most sought-after expiring contract out there.
Yeah, you know what? I had it on one of my 18 pieces of paper here, and you don't give me any warning.
He was co-defenseman of the year with Glendinning last year.
Correct. So you remember what I said.
I remember
to you
everything.
Earlier.
I listen. I hang on every word you say. So
6'2", 200, six choice in 2011 draft.
Okay.
Yeah. Having a great year in Rockford.
Sixth round. So
sixth
great year.
Sixth choice.
Actually, third round.
That's
sixth
the
choice.
Difference.
I know.
Okay.
Like 78th overall, right? So that's the third round he was picked in. They had sixth choice. The Blackhawks obviously loaded up on draft picks that year.
You know where he's from? Klaus?
No. Sweden.
Yeah, he's Swede. Have you ever heard of any other Swedes by the name of Klaus?
I
thought those guys were from Germany.
It's a very German. Maybe one of his parents is German. You never know.
Okay.
Well, we'll find out two guys named Elliot and Damien as part of Hockey Night in Canada coverage. Of course, they appear every second intermission. Yeah.
No, I'm interested to hear what they said.
Okay.
And do we get to comment on what they said at all?
Yeah, that's okay. The point. Yeah. Beautiful. I mean, we're only on for six more hours. Okay. I'm sure we'll slide a comment or two in here. Here he is a little bit from the second intermission tonight on Hockey Night in Canada, Damian Cox and Elliot Friedman.
Start with Toronto.
Well, and there's lots and lots to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. As we expected, they could be the most active team in the National Hockey League. What's interesting now, they appear to be listening to offers for goaltender Jonathan Bernier, who's playing tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. Now, they're listening, so what that means, we'll wait and see. But there are teams out there in the National Hockey League who might be interested in upgrading their goaltender. San Jose Sharks have been talked about all season long. Dallas Stars, maybe, although they went out and already got Jonas Enroth. Mm-hmm. But last night after their loss to Colorado, Lindy Ruff said of Kari Lehtinen's goaltending, our goaltending didn't match the effort of our team. That's quite an indictment. Other Leafs more likely to move if Bernier doesn't. Olli Jokinen, of course. Defenseman Corbinian Holzer, he has a possibility, and also David Booth, the winger. Other Leaf news, there are rarely trades between the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens. And there was a lot of talk last summer about Joffrey Lupo going there, and some suggestion of it this year. Sounds like very lukewarm interest on behalf of the Habs for the off-injured Maple Leaf. And finally, that Columbus-Toronto deal where David Clarkson became a Blue Jacket, there was an attempt to make that a much larger trade that would have involved prospects from both teams. Ultimately, they couldn't pull it all together, and settled for really what's been the most controversial trade so far of the trading season.
Certainly the most surprising, yeah. No question about that. A couple other notes. Patrick Sharp. Here's the situation with Patrick Sharp. As part of his contract, the Chicago Blackhawks can ask him to submit a list of 10 teams he will accept a trade to, and he has 48 hours to present that list. As far as I can tell, that list was not asked for by 3 p.m. Eastern time today, which means he would not have to submit it before the trade deadline on Monday. In other words, Patrick Sharp is not going anywhere right now. Also, Matt Zuccarello, the news got out today that contract talks have continued to go nowhere between him and the Rangers. It's believed the Rangers' final offer was around Max Pacioretty's contract, 6 years and an average of $4.5 million. The news on Zuccarello is this: the Rangers are not allowing any teams to speak to him beforehand. And Jeff Petrie is not playing tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. They're keeping him out of the lineup just in case. Montreal's been rumored. Anaheim's been rumored. St. Louis has been rumored. And one of the things we're kind of wondering if St. Louis is interested in is making Vladimir Sobotka, who's in the KHL, as part of a move to help strengthen their team. If Edmonton is the fit, Edmonton is looking for centers.
We've been watching Buffalo all year and still waiting to see whether Chris Stewart's going to go somewhere before the deadline. But a weird story this week about Mark Pizik, their defenseman. He scored the game-winning goal Tuesday against Columbus, then was sent down to the minors on Friday, and today collapsed on a basketball court playing pickup basketball. He's been released from hospital. The interesting part there is Ted Nolan, the coach of the Sabres, reportedly did not want him sent down and was overruled, again adding fuel to the suggestion that all is not well between Nolan and Tim Murray, the GM of the Sabres. And maybe Nolan might not be back next year to coach that team.
All right, a couple other quick ones. Curtis Glencross, it's believed the Calgary Flames are shortening the list of teams they're considering to trade their forward to. And the hope is, from what I understand, they want to get it done before Monday, but no guarantee that will happen. And by the way, there are Eastern Conference teams who believe that one of the playoff contenders is trying to make a late run for Keith Yandle.
Well, talking about, there's Damian Cox, Elliot Freeman, and Ozzie, as far as Damian talks about the Leafs being active, it still is guys like expiring contracts, like David Booth and Corbinian Holzer, who had a strong game tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. Bernier's a bit interesting, but maybe that'd be the only one. If somebody feels that strongly about goaltending, maybe that's one that can happen by Monday afternoon.
Well, you know, if you're the general manager, as Dave Nonis had already mentioned earlier this week, that anybody's up for grabs or on the table, right, when this team has gone south like it has, then of course you're going to field calls and people are going to inquire, what's it going to take to get a guy like Jonathan Bernier? Are the Maple Leafs actively shopping Jonathan Bernier? I'd be very shocked if they're doing that, but of course, when you're in the rebuilding stage or retooling, you're going to listen to anything and everything, because sometimes things, as you know, comes out of nowhere that becomes all of a sudden, wow, maybe we'll go in this type of direction. I don't know if you had any of those when you were general manager and there were those decisions that you turned down that you care to mention, or you simply just, it just never materialized. Anything jump out at you as far as that goes?
No, there's a lot along the ways, and I include it not just being general manager, but as assistant GM, and that just trying to get Mike Gardner from the Washington Capitals, mm-hmm, when the Capitals weren't good, and that was Jerry McNamara, and trying to improve it with quantity that way. Other kind of moves, trying to get Bob Rouse early on. Phil Esposito always tried to use three-way deals and, you know, those types of things, and you thought you're getting close. The only deal he kind of did was trade Mark Osborne to Toronto.
Yeah, and you know what? When I sometimes read stuff as far as speculation goes, or you're going to even suggest that something is going on. Case in point about David Clarkson, okay? When he had 14 teams that he had to submit a list to this past summer,
yeah,
right? So when things have gone south for the Maple Leafs, I mean, Dave Nonis, and the suggestion would be, well, don't you think he would be talking to each of those teams about David Clarkson at some point? Are you interested in Clarkson? What do you think? Do you want Clarkson? Well, what do you want for him, right? I mean, that would be just part of everyday conversation that you would go through with every team. So to suggest there were other teams that were actively pursuing Clarkson, I find that hard to believe.
Well, absolutely.
Other than Columbus, as was suggested, that it came from them, that we'll do this deal for Clarkson, take Nathan Horton.
And it's interesting, as they talked about some prospects being involved, and the reason that would happen would be they want to make the trade look good, because this right, was kicked around the NHL head office, right, for 4 days, because we weren't too, let's face it, it's not a very conventional trade. It's not really what Gary Bettman likes to see happen. It's it can be called an attempt to circumvent the salary cap, by which is what he's dead against, the Toronto Maple Leafs finding $5 million extra dollars. And he would have the right to strike down the deal if he felt that were the case.
And you know what? And that's good. I think that's a positive that they actually thought through this for a few days. You know, again, loopholes in the old collective bargaining agreement, what GMs could do in order to circumvent things, right? And this would be a perfect one. Is it a unique situation? Absolutely. Would this be something that could happen with other players with term and you know, lack of insurance or any of that kind of stuff? But it was good to have that one fellow on from Columbus when we asked
Aaron
him, why did Nathan Horton, or why did the Blue Jackets were unable to insure Horton to begin with? Because when they did either sign him during that offseason, he was having pending shoulder surgery, right?
Yep.
Therefore, they could not get insurance for that particular case. But, you know, what about the back?
They could have got that. So yeah. Because he was going to miss 41 games, which is the threshold as far as not being able to get the insurance on his shoulder. So they chose just to let him come back and then try to insure him at the end of the season. They could have pursued getting other things at that point, but who would know his back would? I mean, it's an incredible distress and duress he's under for whatever reason now. So then it was too late, and that's why they're on the hook for the entire insurance amount. And that's what precipitated them trying to decide, let's get a warm body for that money in a David Clarkson rather than just paying it off.
So there's actual different parts of your body that you can insure? Is that what you're saying to me? Is that they could not get insurance for a shoulder, but they could have insured other parts of him?
Well, they could have. That's what Aaron Portsline said was again, I'm not an insurance expert, but if you went and got insurance, what's the point of getting insurance? Because you're not going to get any relief for a shoulder injury, you know, and that's what you'd want to collect on that year. So because it's a condition he comes with, then it wouldn't be eligible to collect. So they just figure out, okay, we're just going to bypass this year and then get insurance. So theoretically, could they have looked at getting insurance and everything else? Much more possible.
Well, can we look at the second hour getting William Sutton on?
Son Greg. I got an email from Greg. Greg Sutton's the guy that runs it all now. He's the guy who told me all this years ago. It started with baseball contracts. I'm trying to think which pitcher it was.
So do you have any idea what the cost of insurance insuring some of these huge, huge dollar contracts?
Well, it was enough that they decided for Team Canada they had to play ball hockey instead of actually skating during the camp. So it depends on a number of considerations, but it's not cheap, to say the least. It's incredibly, in some cases, maybe prohibitive, expensive, and it goes case by case about a lot of matters.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if you're the Maple Leafs per se, and your salary cap is, and you're up against the cap, $70 million. So what does it cost for premiums to insure those particular contracts?
And maybe you're not being able to insure the whole contract. Yeah. Greg had told me was, for example, it started back where Lloyd's of London could be an underwriter, and they started to say, we're not going to do the whole contract. So you'd have to bring two different people in. So I'll do $20 million. Someone else might do $10 million. Someone else might do $5 million. And it's been a challenge going about that way. So, and as much as insurance doesn't sound exciting, I think at some point we'll get Greg on and we'll, you know,
Get him
a little bit more about it.
That'd be good.
He's a fun guy.
We're gonna make sure that the insurance companies make all their money, you know, because we can't make it so that they can't.
And then we'll get some bankers on too and think we'll just do that. We'll just do a capitalist Bay Street type segment. How about that? We'll come back. Just a couple of regular guys, Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne. Leafs lose 4-0 tonight. Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. More coming up on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Change is coming to Toronto Sports Radio. Ozzy, Dean Blundell and company, reborn Monday morning on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's the debut of Dean Blundell and company. Weekday morning starting this Monday, 5:30 to 9 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. A reminder, tonight the 4-0 loss by the Leafs to the Montreal Canadiens.
You know what, Gord, I like to do a little bit of research, look up different guys that have been drafted, who's drafted them, just a little bit of background and people I respect in the game who have scouted a long time. Timmy Bernhard being one who's
absolutely
head amateur scout in Arizona for Don Maloney and the Coyotes now. Did a wonderful job for 15 years in Dallas as their head scout. And I was kind of going through the OHL leading scores. We talked about Mitch Marner, who is going to be one of the top picks this year, leads the OHL in scoring, had a six-point night tonight. Connor McDavid, by the way, had a continuous score tonight, has a 24-game point streak. But I was looking at this guy is third in league scoring in the Ontario Hockey League, plays for London with Mitch Marner. His name is Christian Dvorak. 40 goals, 63 assists, 103 points. Okay. Has he been drafted yet? And lo and behold, I go in the book. He was drafted in the second round last year by Arizona. And prior to that, and if you want to know what his stats were in London last year, he played in 33 games. He had 6 goals and 8 assists. Now, that's not stats to write home about, would you think?
Absolutely.
And the year before that, he played in the USHL with the Chicago Steel. 9 games, he had 2 goals, 3 assists. So that's nothing. But lo and behold, a guy like Timmy Bernhard sees something in him. And 40 goals later this year, that's what you call scouting, okay?
Well, and this team, the Toronto Maple Leafs lost to tonight, where my nephew Robert mentioned, played a couple of years with the Belleville Bulls. And the guy that was the guy was P.K. Subban. Yep. And he played the final 2 years after being a second-round pick of the Montreal Canadiens. So pretty nice that you pick that guy and get to watch him excel at junior and also play his first year with the Hamilton Bulldogs. Like, really, he came up in the playoffs, but he played one full year in the AHL.
Yeah, and that's all part of development. And, you know, a guy that we had talking about, again, for the Montreal Canadiens, 19-year-old. We saw him at the World Juniors here. And I was kind of interested while watching William Nylander play for the Swedish team, right, because of a Maple Leaf draft pick, and I'm looking at this captain for Sweden, and that's Jacob De La Rose, who, by the way, is playing for the Habs now and looking not out of place and a real good player as far as just the other parts of the game, smart, defensive-minded, knows how to get around the ice, and for 19 years of age, that's one of the players, I think, in the Habs fold that they look, lo and behold, is a surprise even for them how quickly he's developed. So a little bit of luck sometimes.
Well, Captain Dion Phaneuf, and I still think he's going to be around next year. I think both he and Phil Kessel, we'll see what happens, but he would be one of these guys around whatever, not rebuild, but more hopefully just to develop some younger players that evolve based on ability over the next few years with the Toronto Maple Leafs. But let's hear the captain talking more things close to home and more immediate tonight's 4-0 loss to the Montreal Canadiens.
Beyond frustrating game here tonight. Was it difficult to bounce back after the first goal and try to get into it here, even though the shots and goal might have indicated otherwise?
Yeah, we started really to the way that we wanted to play, and then we come back in after the first 20 minutes and we're down 2 goals, but we did a lot of good things too. We created, I think we outchanced them. I'm not totally sure, but if I was to guess, I think we probably outchanced them in the first period, and we did a lot of things. So they're a good team. They're at the top of the East for a reason. They're skilled, they're fast, and they play very well in this building. But we did a lot of things right that we wanted to do early, and the game just they kept coming, and we weren't able to beat their goalie. I said before the game, when I was asked about him, is he's been unbelievable for their team all year. He's been extremely consistent. I think he's one of the top goalies in the league consistently year after year. And this year I would say he's probably the top goalie in the league. He's very well positioned. He fights through traffic very well, but the biggest thing for us is I think that we didn't get enough traffic on him, because when you let him see the puck, he's going to stop the puck. And tonight we just didn't generate enough off of screenshots. And when you get screenshots, you get rebounds. But give credit to him, he played well.
Sympathize with Jonathan's frustration on the third goal and the interference, the alleged interference.
yeah, I puck hits my shin pads and then it bounces down. I lose it, and I was looking for it, and Gallagher comes into the blue paint. Again, it puts Bernie in a tough position when he goes into the paint and he pushes in there, but that's the official's rule. I mean, you're not going to change their call once it's made. So I think probably that was part of my frustration too, when I was frustrated about the call made on me, as I didn't agree with that one. But they do a good job overall, and we've got to move forward. We got a game tomorrow night that it comes pretty quick.
John, just about that game tomorrow night, considering what's coming on Monday in terms of the deadline, is there any fear of needing to kind of focus a little extra on the effort tomorrow?
Yeah, we're professionals. This is part of the business of playing professional sport. There's trade deadlines, and that comes on Monday. So our job is to focus. Our job is to be prepared and prepare like professionals to play the game, because ultimately that's what we're here to do, is to play for our organization. And the business side takes care of itself.
Have you found that difficult over the last little while to focus with all the kind of chatter around the team?
Yeah. You're definitely answering a lot of questions about it, but we put ourselves in this position. We have not played up to the capabilities of where we believe we are as a team. And when that happens, and when you struggle, and where we're at in the standings, there's going to be changes. We've seen lots of changes already. And that's the toughest part, is when you see teammates leave. It's a tough part. You build friendships, you build relationships with guys. You're competing, you're working with them day in and day out, and you lose teammates. That's the toughest thing. But it's definitely, we've put ourselves in this position, and now we've got to deal with it.
Toronto Maple Leaf captain Dion Phaneuf, and the one thing, that goal by Desharnais, and it seems like everyone unanimous agreement, they showed on TV a much more controversial goal in the Dallas Detroit game last week, because it, two teams and playoff implications, and but it seems to be creeping or getting away with it. Was it creeping in the game, or for some reason the officials are missing tonight and last week, and Glenn Healy seemed to think it's a bit of a play going on. This kind of interference, obvious interference in the crease against goaltenders.
You think it's a plague?
Well, Glenn Healy, I think there's to it.
Well, you know what? Why don't we?
He did not use the word plague.
Why don't we go in and put a tape together of all the goals that have been disallowed as a result of interference this year?
Correct.
And then you're going to miss a few. The one that was really so apparent was the Dallas one, and we saw Lindy Ruff's reaction to that last week. That was really goaltender interference. This one, it should have been called goaltender interference. It was not called. And so, but then on the other hand, you hear Dion Phaneuf talking about the Maple Leafs not getting to Carey Price. Oz is one of the keys to the game that did not materialize. And yet you look at what Gallagher does. I mean, for that guy, undersized, plays with jam, goes to the net, does all those things. He created that goal. Should have been an interference, but you give him credit for the Desharnais goal, don't you? Do you not?
I do, and the other comment is, Dion seemed to think that the Leafs outchanced the Montreal Canadiens. They did outshoot them. We debated whether it's because Carey Price always appears very nonplussed, very smooth, that there's no fuss, no muss, that maybe actually things that can be deemed scoring chances don't look it when you're playing against Carey Price. I just didn't think there were, as Dion alluded to, I think the quality shots weren't
so there. I look at this and saying, oh, wow, look at the pluses that we've done. We've limited scoring chances. We outchanced them. We kept our shots down at 5-5-5. You lost the game. What about the Montreal Canadiens? Do you think that there's some stats that aren't in their favor, and yet they're winning hockey games? Carey Price is the best goaltender in the game right now. At the end of the day, do you think that they're worried about things from that perspective? It's about winning. It doesn't matter how you win. It's winning. Is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely, okay. Oz. You got me going. Okay. I'm just like, it's kind of like a Newt Rockne talk.
I know, but let's think about the positives. It's our team. It's our, we deserve what we get. We didn't get it done here. There's going to be changes made. Oh, boy.
I was there. I got to do a couple of games 3 years ago when they had their off season, when they came third last. I got to be involved broadcasting them when I was working for CBC. And I did find it, you know, Scott Gomez hadn't scored in a year. Markov was hurt. I mean, just a lot of things.
Yeah.
But the building rocked there. You know, it still did. Now, I know they're getting more demanding and whatever. It's just funny. There was a – now, I was only there three home games.
Building rocks here in the playoffs. Even back in the 80s, you should know this.
Oh, absolutely.
That things changed when the Leafs got in the playoffs.
Totally. Yeah. But I just mean there was a – you know, it's there was a still that environment. Now, it may have dissipated period a year later if they continued out of the playoffs. But it just it's just interesting because that on home games, as we mentioned, it's just a very different vibe at Air Canada Center right now with the team basically having thrown the towel in the season.
Let me ask you something, and you've been around the game, and you've been when you were general manager. You went to places like in Alberta. Calgary won the Stanley Cup in 89. The Oilers won a bunch in the 80s. If you were to compare those two buildings, who had the better atmosphere, Calgary or Edmonton?
Calgary.
Okay.
Edmonton was dead.
Right.
And they won like all the Stanley
there
Cups.
You go. So
I know.
It's a product of your environment. I don't know if it's ever going to change here in Toronto. Montreal is a different animal. Anyways.
Well, it's a product of our environment,
Keep
of course.
Complaining about the fans and the environment here at the Air Canada Center.
I'm just talking about the environment doesn't necessarily mean the fans. It means like all the tickets, all the seats that are vacant, the start of periods, all these other kind of things. But again, it could be a product of what's on the ice.
Make your own noise, baby. Make your own
noise.
Okay,
we want Lance. We want Lance. How about that? And Lance Hornby appears from the Toronto Sun. How about that, Lance Roux?
Bonjour, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Ça va très bien, merci.
Hey, Lance, how many shows for you tonight in the press box?
I'm trying to cut down as I get into my advanced years, so I kept it to under five.
You hear that, Gord? Five.
Under.
What was your record?
Under 50. I did get to play Monsieur Leduc in the class play in grade six, so the one about P2, don't want to play.
I was in that too.
I know. Were you Monsieur Leduc or were you Henri?
No, I think I was P2.
P2, yeah. Henri, Mary Claire were the kids. But, let's just first talk about the game tonight because the games are almost, I don't want to call them irrelevant, but it's just weird. I think they probably maybe are somewhat till the trade deadline comes and goes because everyone is so focused and the Leafs have made a lot of moves over the last little while. The atmosphere, the type of game, and if you were a Toronto fan that made the trip, certainly you didn't enjoy the Na 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 song at the end, but what kind of 60 minutes did you see?
Well, you know what? I thought the Leafs were in the game to a large degree. It maybe wasn't a 4-0 game. You throw in the empty netter, at least one disputed goal. But you know what? The Canadians are 32 points ahead of the Leafs for many reasons, but the main one is Carey Price. When Toronto did threaten, obviously he turned them aside, and it got very frustrating at the end. And at least we're down 2-0 when that disputed goal happened in the third, and Dion Phaneuf admitted that probably got the better of him a couple of minutes later when he took the double minor and really took him out of the game. But you know what? Toronto has just had its time for making the trades and getting things going. And now, unfortunately, you're seeing the end result now. You're seeing a watered-down roster that's no match for Montreal.
Yeah, you know what, Lance, and when you hear the comments of Dion Phaneuf, and I mentioned to Gord, one of the keys I thought for the Maple Leafs, at least if they had a chance of winning, would be to get to Carey Price. I mean, they're not getting to Carey Price. I mean, they're not a group of forwards up front that are going to jam the front of the net. They're mostly a perimeter type of team. And so at the end of the day, you get what you see is what you get from the Maple Leafs, a fine effort. But again, we talk about out-chancing, out-shooting, whatever it is that you want. I think at the end of the day, the Leafs have got nothing other than to say some of those typical things, and yet a loss at the end of the night.
Yeah, you know, if the Leafs had Dustin Byfuglien or somebody who was a real presence in front of the net, it might make a difference. And, you know, at playoff time, those are the ugly goals you see people score by, you know, forwards, maybe third or fourth liners going to the net. And, you know, ironically, a couple of their best chances tonight was the fourth line when Cozen had a good shot. The rebound went to Peter Holland, had a tough angle. But even Price being able to get over there and forcing him to shoot high, that's just another example of what this guy can do. And I thought Richard Ponick probably had a pretty good chance too. At least cut it off, put it back in front. But again, that's not the kind of he's not the kind of scorer you expect is going to cash in on something like that. But he has to, really, if you're going to have any chance against Carey Price. And I think the Leafs have had, one goal against him in Montreal the past two games. So that's what it adds up to.
listening, and people are, Damian Cox, for example, was saying tonight about expecting activity from the Toronto Maple Leafs. But if it's just David Booth and possibly Corbinian Holzer, you're talking about UFAs, and it seems like guys with expiring contracts are all we might see going on Monday. What's your thinking, Lance?
Well, I thought the best one-on-one tonight wasn't anything to do with Carey Price of the Leafs. It was Mark Bergevin and Dave Nonis, who were deep in thought as the elevator opened from press area down to the Leaf dressing room. They were having some very serious discussions. You know, it may be just setting the table for Monday, but let's remember it was only a couple of weeks ago that Bergevin and his entire staff were in Toronto to watch the Marlies play Family Day, and they stayed over the next game. I forget who the Leafs played the next day, but not just Bergevin, but his whole staff were there. And you hear a lot of talk about they're going to make a pitch for Roman Polak or maybe some size up front. So, you know, it may be Booth or somebody, you know, of a lesser quality. But, you know, given what the Leafs have done, and especially with the move with David Clarkson, maybe they do have one last big move to pull before 3 p.m. Monday.
Lance, I know we're really reaching when we're, and again, hearing Elliot Friedman and Damian Cox in between periods talking about the possibilities of Maple Leafs that may be moving forward. You mentioned David Booth. The only other one would be a Corbinian Holzer, who's a UFA, Olli Jokinen. But is there anything to suggest, based on what you've seen from Olli Jokinen in a Maple Leaf uniform, has he increased his chances of anybody out there having any degree of interest in Olli Jokinen?
No, he would have had to have had two or three really good games by now. I think he's played three or four with the Leafs. Now he's been okay, but you know, and certainly he and Leo Komarov are having a lot of fun playing together. But no, there isn't anything that would jump out. And here's a guy who wasn't playing a lot in Nashville before the deal, so he really had to make an impression in these last few games. I think there's probably other people out there that the contenders are looking at.
But take a look as well for the Leafs, the mood after the game. It's hard to gauge in the dressing room. I mean, we'll hear from Peter Horchuk in a few minutes' time as well, but it's how would you characterize it? I mean, I not the pins and needles thing about being traded in general, but it just, the season's becoming an ordeal. You're lacking storylines. I mean, there should be more of a controversy about goal number three tonight. If they were, you know, playing in a playoff spot, it would be compelling that way. What's the sense around the team?
Well, you know what? It was getaway night. They are going to Washington tomorrow, so not very many players came out. Certainly, Phaneuf and Bernier were a little hot about that goal. But again, you know, I think you guys alluded to it. The game, I think, was gone by that point. Anyway, I sense the team is very sick and tired of answering the questions, and I can't blame them. I mean, they do have a media obligation, but there is a sameness to them, and even with the deals that have happened. I mean, once they say that, you know, so-and-so is a good guy, we liked him, he worked hard, it's a business, he was a good friend, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it still means that there's going to be 20 very much meaningless games coming up unless they pull something really big and one of the big name, big ticket contracts goes, and then we'll have something to talk about.
Hey, Lance, with all the focus on trade deadline day and in years previous, the activity leading up to it that's happened already, do you think that the days of the final day are few and far in between now that the best is behind what we focus upon on deadline day, that there's just not a lot that's going to happen come Monday?
Yeah, you know what? You hate to say that, especially with my brethren in the electronic media probably plotting 8 and 9 hour specials on Monday. But yeah, you know, it's and then you add the salary cap era has taken hold of that, and now you have a lot of preliminary deals done. You know, and Toronto probably got the ball rolling on a couple of them, you know, with Cody Franson and Daniel Winnick, things like that. A lot of deals have happened already, so it may turn out to be very, very, I won't say quiet, but it, you know, something meaningful may not happen, or, you know, everyone's just saving their biggest and best guns for 255 on Monday, and I'm sure Gordy's lived through a couple of those, so it can get pretty hectic.
It's the first deal. You know, if I was still a general manager in a team, I would make a deal at 8 a.m. because it gets talked about for 6 hours. So just make a nondescript little deal that way, because that usually is what happens. And Corbinian Holzer is interesting. We chatted about him just having a strong game tonight, responding to getting extra minutes with France and traded to Nashville. Do you think he's a guy you would trade rather than risk becoming a UFA?
You know what? It's hard to say. I mean, nobody knew much about him, but he was very frank when at the start of this year when they called him up. I forget, somebody was hurt for a few games, and it was clear he was going to get a chance. But he said, you know, I'm 26, I'm 27 now. I came over here for a reason, and it's time I prove myself. And he's certainly done it to a small degree. He's not going to be, you know, he's not going to be Bobby Orr, but I think he's a useful player who's put himself in the conversation for next year with the Leafs, if not for another team.
Final question for me, Lance. I know there was a lot of a bit of interest in just the fact that Zach Sill made a name for himself being mic'd up with the acquisition and what was, you know, captured by him with that trade with Pittsburgh for Daniel Winnick. Really kind of nondescript, I guess, is a couple of games in a Maple Leaf uniform. A Nova Scotia kid that's, you know, loved the idea of putting on the blue and white, but hard to really give an assessment of his game thus far.
Well, I thought he's played well. I mean, he's had some energy. I mean, he's got big shoes to fill with Winnick gone, but I've been impressed tonight. He hit some people, forecheck got a couple of chances there. And Peter Horacek said before the game, he thought that whole fourth line deserved extra minutes and got it. And I think if you're looking for small signs of progress along the way, having extra ice time and watching what a guy like Sill or a guy like Holzer can do is all that's left really for, you know, Leaf fans to look to in the last 20 games, at least give them something to hope for.
Well, they always look for your work, of course, on the Toronto Sun. So we can look forward to that as well. I know you'll be busy over the next 48 hours as well. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Lance Hornby of the Toronto Sun.
Wish we had more to talk about with Lance.
Yeah, I know.
When it comes down to, you know, these games, and as Lance best put it, we'll get through the trade deadline. We'll do another game tomorrow night, which will be the last for the Maple Leafs before Monday's deadline. And then, I don't know about you, but what are you thinking about the last 20 or so games for the end of the year with this particular group? Moving forward, if some of those parts that we talk about are still here, I don't know how to view the last bit of the season for this particular group. This is unprecedented with this group this soon being dismantled. And now how are they going to approach the game? I guess there was a decent effort tonight, right? But
well, it
remains to be seen.
You know, I talk about it's the tough thing is you have to retool your thinking, your perspective, that it wasn't thought of as a team that was rebuilding. So now the last 6 weeks is like instant rebuild. It's even playing a spoiler doesn't cut it, right? You know, baseball, you can play a spoiler and someone comes to town. I don't know. It's just it's hard to quantify, put a finger on it. I mean, the worst year was when the team came dead last. They came second last under Brian Burke, but when dead last in my era back in 1985. And when Wendell Clark was selected first overall in the draft, just like whatever draft pick they get this year will be a real positive. But that was a positive. It was done in the Toronto Convention Center. The draft was held, and there was an incredible, doesn't take a lot of people for a big roar there. And it was neat. It was like all of a sudden beginning of the start, you know, the beginning of getting going. But you also had Russ Courtnell and Todd Gill, Gary Lehman, Steve Thomas, you know, a few other guys that were starting to evolve and develop that were young guys that you hope were growing, and they were, which you don't really have here. You don't really have her at this point. I mean, Nazem Kadri is probably one. Morgan Riley, I guess, you know, with Jake.
Yeah, Morgan Riley, there's Nylander, you know, Connor Brown, what he's doing in the American Hockey League.
But they have to grow with it is what I mean. I mean, they're the ones that whatever you pick, you're going to have to hope that unlike, say, this year, Carter Ashton and Matt Fratton, you know, guys you were hoping might take a step forward this year and didn't. That's what you got to hope from as many of your prospects as possible.
Well, you certainly hope so. And, you know, I look up and down this lineup, and I look at other organizations and I think, why have other organizations been able to either, you know, get some mid-round picks that have developed into being decent NHL players? Well, you know what? A case in point may be a guy like Corbin and Holzer, for instance, who's come in and I think has really solidified himself as a, you know, a player that the Leafs could not put on waivers. Somebody would pick him up for sure. So he's played himself into a regular, everyday NHL player, be it 5-6 guy on a good team or a depth guy. But I guess that's a credit, and he's maybe one that we've forgotten about.
Well, was it Koska that went to Chicago, I think, at one point? You know, just those kinds. Sometimes you've got to gauge whether a guy can make the jump or not, is worth the contract. And anyway, those are the kind of decisions that they have to make. We want to come back. We'll hear from Leaf head coach Peter Horchuk and more when we return. It was a 4-0 win for the Montreal Canadiens over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Cord Stellick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Welcome back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Cord Stellick, Mark Osborne. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan, a 4-0 loss to the Montreal Canadiens tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And you were pointing out the road ineptitude for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, only 7 wins out of 31 starts. That's tied with Buffalo for the fewest road wins in the National Hockey League. They've yet to win on the road in 2015. And then I was just simply looking at another shutout on the road against Montreal tonight. And I'm going through the goals. Desharnais had 2. Plekanec had his 19th. And Manny Malhotra, his first of the season for Montreal. I remember back in the early part of the season when the Leafs were winning a majority of hockey games, we used to go through every single goal and kind of give a bit of a recap on each goal. You know, you don't do that anymore. And I'm not really sure.
What, this is like that song, You Don't Bring Me Flowers? Was it turning
Neil
Diamond
on me?
You
know, for the
listening audience. You don't sing me love songs?
For the listening audience out there, you know,
go.
You want to know what happened to the first goal.
You've got a good point.
How did Malhotra score the first goal that put the Leafs down 1-0?
Well, I saw it vividly. Go ahead. You tell me.
Yeah, well, Joffrey Lupul has the puck in a neutral zone. Picture this. Right-handed shot on the boards on his side of the ice. Decides to go cross ice through the neutral zone right on the Montreal winger who's playing in the middle of the ice. That would be Dale Weiss, right? He's going in on a semi-breakaway, gets caught, has to drop it for Manny Malhotra, who, by the way, 52 games, has yet to score for Montreal. He makes a great shot. Short side blocker on Jonathan Bernier. That's 1-0.
Thomas Plekanec, second goal of the game, 19th of the season, and that was on a delayed penalty call, and they were able to get a 6th attacker on for a fair number of seconds.
Okay, case in point. Here's Andrei Markov has the puck behind his blue line. Plekanec jumps on the ice for the extra attacker, kind of slides in behind the defense. Dion Phaneuf is basically mirroring him at the Leaf blue line, okay? So it's a pass. Kind of semi-breakaway again, but I don't know why Dion hesitates and just doesn't go bang straight at him. And Plekanec takes the shot. I mean, it's a great shot. When the Bernier was a little bit in the back of his net, go short side again, 2-0, game over. And then the controversial goal to start the third period, a minute and 2 in, Gallagher jamming the front of the net on Jonathan Bernier. We would both agree that it was goaltender interference. They let it stay. Desharnais picks up his 10th of the season, and then in the empty net, rounds out the scoring with his 11th. 4-0. Maple Leafs outshoot the Montreal Canadiens 30-23. Outchanced them. All the positives that you want, except a win.
Well, let's hear from Jonathan Bernier as well after tonight's 4-0 loss.
It's Jonathan, a tough start here tonight, and real tough to bounce back given how the other guys been this season.
Yeah, obviously played really well. I thought we dominated the game. We made a few mistakes, and personally, it was probably one of the worst calls I've seen on the third goal. Gallagher just pushed me in, and goal is good. So it's really frustrating.
What was the explanation you got on that?
He's allowed to push me in if the puck is loose. So it's strange. No, never.
Bernie, Carey Price is having a pretty good season as a fellow goalie. What stands out to you about him?
He's very calm. You know, I feel like their team is doing a good job of clearing the front, and that he's allowed to see the puck most of the shots, and he's making those big saves, yeah.
frustrating. The guys just don't score an awful lot, at least in the last little while when you're in nets. Not much you can do about that, I guess.
No, I can't really control that. I just got to focus on my job and, you know, I got to go shot by shot and not really worry on the end result.
Well, there is Jonathan Bernier. And I don't know what to say. You felt the first two goals as well. They outshot them 11-6 in the first period and were down 2-0.
You know what, Gordon? Today's game, this is not like the 80s or even the early 90s with guys picking corners on a regular basis from the outside. And again, lo and behold, the first goal by Manny Malhotra, good shot. I thought Bernier was a little bit deep in his net. Not a big goaltender, and so he's got to come out and challenge as much as he can. And again, the same thing on the Canucks goal. A little bit in the back of his net, and, you know, you applaud a great shot, but one that I thought Bernier should have had at least the second one.
Leaf head coach Peter Horacek tonight, a little bit short and sweet. Got to be an incredibly frustrating time for him, even though a good effort tonight by his team. Here he is after tonight's 4-0 loss.
Would you have liked, Peter, with all due respect, to have seen more compete level from your guys here tonight?
I thought there was. You know, they only had 11 shots after two periods, and we turned over the first goal. You know, they have an empty net goal. The third goal clearly was goalie interference. So, you know, we did it to ourselves on the turnover, but I thought there was some good compete there. And, we had some opportunities. We didn't. We did not failed on the power play. Couldn't get that going, but... you know, we have to do a better job there. But I thought there was decent compete in other areas.
It's like everything you said about Price came true.
Yeah, I mean, he made some huge saves there. The one that he made a rebound save, and then it went right to Holland. And I don't know how, if that hit him or where it went, but that was, he's pretty spectacular. That's why he's one of the best in the league.
What did they do on the penalty kill that, I guess, spread you guys out and made it tough to cross inside?
You know, it's all execution. I mean, they put some pressure up ice, and we didn't execute coming out the ice. So, you know, it's on the players. It's on us. We have to execute and come up the ice together. And it has to get better, for sure.
Okay, so here comes my positive spin on this game, based on what I heard from Peter Horacek, the Maple Leaf coach. The Leafs did compete. I thought that they worked hard. And at the end of the day, they still lost. And so I guess we applaud that. We give them credit for the effort. And again, I'm thinking back to these teams that we go back in time on, you know, fans in different centers, say like in Edmonton, in Calgary over the years, in Buffalo, you know, they've been there and done this for a lot of years as well. And this is our first year of experiencing this early in the season, an utter disappointment happening, right? And so this is something, you know, very difficult, I think, to get used to as far as just being observers of the game, of what we've come to expect here in Toronto, even though it's been a long time. But anyways, this is a tough pill to swallow.
Well, and, you know, the goal that should have been disallowed, the third goal of the game by Desharnais, it lacks any bite or edge to it. It's understood. Bernier mentions it. Horacek does. But when you're losing and not scoring any goals, it's really almost irrelevant, even though it was a bad call.
It was a bad call. Jonathan Bernier talking about the worst call that he's ever seen this year. And that, to me, just kind of smells like that's just excuses beyond excuses that end up happening, right? I think that's the focal point. But again, if you're a player in that position and you look back on and say, you know what, we worked hard for two periods, a minute into the third period, maybe you have every right to be disappointed that call did not go your way. But again, after that, I don't think the Leafs actually really generated a lot of offense. In fact, the Canadiens outshot the Maple Leafs 12-8 that period. So I think the Maple Leafs just, their tent folded after that third goal.
Now, you brought up an interesting point. So 7 wins in 31 road games. And I'm just looking in Leaf history now about other road records of futility. 1967-68, first year of expansion after they won the Stanley Cup, only 9 wins in 37 road games. Okay, 9 wins. Then you go to the 72-73 season. That was when the World Hockey Association started and the Leafs were decimated by players going to the WHA. So 7 wins 7 wins in 39 road games that year. So 7 out of 39 scheduled. Then you start going, okay, now the my area of expertise, the 1980s, 81, 82, there were 8 and 40. 82, 83, 8 and 40. 83, 84, 9 and 40. Wow. 80, 45, 10 and 40. 85, 86, 9 wins in 40. 86, 87, 10 wins in 40. 87, 88, 7 wins in 40. Then later on, you look at we had a couple good years there after that. 1 year I was involved, and the year afterwards, 13 and 14. But then the Tom Curver's year with the Lindros trade, 8 wins in 40 games, and followed by 9 wins in 40 games in Cliff Fletcher's first year as GM when the Gilmore trade happened at Christmas. So anyway, you're putting in context right now, 7 wins in 34 games, and you're talking low water comparables with every low water year. A sign of a bad team is getting killed on the road. That really is. You can play half decent at home, but it's like your true stripes are shown on the road. And right now with, just 7 road games left, this team is comparable to those others unless it gets 4 or 5 wins in their final 7 road games.
Yeah, you know what? And even if you go to the, post or the cap era as far as a road record is concerned, I think the Leafs have had in the last 10 years only two teams were over 500 on the road. And you always used to say, I remember good teams would talk about, you got to be at least 750 at home and come up somehow at least 500 on the road to be a decent hockey club, have somewhat of a real good record. And lo and behold, you look at the teams today that have excellent road records. Look at Montreal, 19-9-1 on the road. Even Nashville, they're 5 games over 500. Nothing to write home about, but yet I always found it easier actually to play on the road.
Now, why is that?
I think you're a lot more focused. I think the game day routine is all hockey. And yeah, you don't have the right to change last, but
the crowd doesn't get on you too?
I think the crowd doesn't get on you. And lo and behold, I think you play a more simpler game on the road. And I think that suits being a defensive minded team. And one thing that we can agree on, at least post lockout, this team has been anything but a good defensive team, therefore the poor road record.
Okay, talk about tomorrow. We'll be back at Leafs Nation postgame, the Washington Capitals. And, it's funny, the one win against Washington earlier in the year was a sign of Leaf power. It looked like the Capitals were not going to come close to the playoffs. Ovechkin gave the bump. We thought it was an innocent bump to Leo Komarov near the end of the game. Komarov ended up missing 12 games. Has really not been the same since. And then when Washington came to town the second time, it was like a 180. The Maple Leafs had taken the Capitals' position as also-rans, and the Capitals are a team that are vying and looking forward to playoff action.
Well, they certainly are a much-improved hockey club under Barry Trotz. Braden Holtby, you'd have to say, has had an outstanding year. Ovechkin, I do believe, is leading the NHL in goals for, and I was saying this to you before, with the Leafs going into Washington tomorrow night, the last game before the trade deadline on Monday, their chances are probably slim and none. Washington have lost 3 in a row. Yeah, they're the number one wild card seed in the Eastern Conference, but anytime you lose 3 in a row, I don't like the chances of a team going into the opposition's building when that's occurred. And you can be sure that they're going to be jacked, ready to go for the Maple Leafs come tomorrow evening.
And they had Tim Gleason. Interesting pickup.
Depth. I mean, that's all that is. I mean, I'm not sure about Washington's injury situation. And yet at the end of the day, like I mentioned earlier this evening, I was kind of surprised that there would be even a push for a guy like Timmy Gleason. But it comes down to a good defensive team that if you watch Timmy Gleason for the limited time that we had him even here, maybe that's a player that can thrive under structure just because of keeping the game simple, blocking shots. And the other four guys on the ice, if you're playing that kind of system, a guy like Tim Gleason might be able to at least give you a little bit more depth.
Well, it says to the Washington Capitals, they haven't, nor should they have given up on the playoffs yet, even though, as you mentioned, their recent losses are killers, just like the Philadelphia Flyers having losses to Buffalo, Carolina, and Toronto. I mean, those kind of things are killers in your quest.
Well, they are. And yet, you know, I guess case in point, I mean, you're going to have those kind of nights. And every team has proven to have those type. Again, you look at a team like the Washington Capitals, for the most part, it's been neck and neck with the likes of the rest of the group in their own particular division, be it the Islanders, be it Pittsburgh, be it the Rangers. It's a great division to watch.
Rangers-Philadelphia game was the one our friend Eddie Olchuk was doing tonight. That was a big one for both teams.
Well, it really was, and probably not so much as far as the Rangers are concerned. This was more incumbent upon the Flyers because of the loss the other night to the Maple Leafs. And again, you know, based on, you know, what the Flyers, I mean, they're such a Jekyll and Hyde team, and yet, you know, Steve Mason, who had been out, he was thrust into action, interesting enough, playing the other night against Toronto. I don't know if they rushed him back, but he was the goaltender tonight. Apparently, very healthy when it comes to getting that win against the Rangers. And so, yeah, the Flyers' chances are still alive and well. And with the, you know, interesting deal that I see Hextall making with Timo Timonen, right? I mean, Chicago picks him up, and yet you got to think they could have used him to make that playoff push. But
yeah, Timonen traded to the Chicago Blackhawks, and later on we heard Antoine Vermette traded tonight as well. We'll come back tomorrow, Leafs Nation postgame. We'll talk about any deals that materialize, and we'll open the phone lines again as the Leafs head to Washington to take on the Washington Capitals. 4-0 final tonight. The Montreal Canadiens defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.